I'm sorry, verse 8 is really our text for today. Hebrews 13, verse 8. I want to begin reading, though, at verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I think that was the experience and testimony of Daniel that Brother David spoke to us about. God's people need to have boldness. The more the world oppresses us and the world tries to suppress us every way it possibly can, the more we need to have boldness to be faithful to Christ. I again urge you to, I have the magazines of The Voice of the Martyrs, to read about how other Christians in other countries are being faithful to serve the Lord. We may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them that have the rule over you, who shall have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conduct or their message. Now our text. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a profound statement the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives to us here. This is something that you can pillar your head on. We're living in the midst of a changing world. Even our America is changing. There are those who are trying to drastically turn our nation upside down and revert us in a direction that our forefathers never wanted to go, never wanted to walk. And our Constitution forbids it, that we would turn in that direction. So they're trying to destroy our whole Constitution, the very fiber of our nation, and they're trying also to take from God's people any conviction and tell you that whatever you believe, that's just your ideas about things. Now there are some things that I'm thankful for that does not change, and that is God, and that is Jesus Christ. That is the Word of God. These are set forth as being foundational. Brother David made reference to the building on sand and building on rock. Our lives must be built upon the rock Christ Jesus if we're to stand in the days of persecution, in the days of adversity that we are living in. Now, that's for every individual, elderly and young alike. You think that, well, after I get to be 70 years of age or whatever, I don't have any problem with the devil. You're going to have a problem with the devil until you put you in the casket. He is always on your trail, trying to discourage you, trying to destroy you, and trying to get you to turn from following after Christ. Here is a foundation that we can honestly lean on. Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. Our Savior, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and forever. That, my friend, is the inspired Word of God. It is as true as is John 3:16 or Genesis 1:1. Christ Jesus is the same forever. And so I am speaking to you about the immutability of Jesus Christ. Now, immutability is a biblical word, and it means unchangeableness, does not change. Our Lord quotes that, uses that word in Malachi, the 3rd chapter and verse 6. I am the Lord. Well, the word am is in added there, is in italics. It simply means this in the Hebrew. I the Lord. And the word Lord is in capitals, which means I Jehovah. I Jehovah. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. What a precious promise that word is there. Immutability. We have it also used in the 6th chapter of Hebrews. Our Lord is speaking, talking about the promises made to Abraham. And he says, verse 17 of the 6th chapter of Hebrews, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it with an oath. God spoke unto Abraham, and he not only gave Abraham a message, but he confirmed it with an oath. to inform us as God's people and as all of God's elect people are children of Abraham, that God has made promise and it is confirmed by an immutable hope, oath. And so Jesus Christ the same yesterday and forever. I want to use just three words to talk about the immutability of Jesus Christ. The first word is the word person. The second word is power. And the third word is his promises. Now, we may not get through all those today. We will look at and see what God says to us. The immutability of the person and the offices of Jesus Christ. He does not change. In Malachi, or in Micah rather, there is a verse of scripture that's oftentimes quoted, Micah chapter 5, where it says, verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrath, though thou be little among the thousand of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me one that's to be ruler in Israel." Now, usually, when that verse is quoted, that's as far as it goes. But note the rest of it. It's very important. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. "Whose going forth had been from the old, from everlasting." Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. He is the one that is with God the Father when the world was brought into existence. He existed equal to God. And Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, "Who thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Our Lord praying that precious prayer in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John. He said, "Father, glorify thou me with the glory which I had with thee before the world began." We are time-captive people. We think that everything happened just in time. It began somewhere, yea, back and under. You know, the evolutionists say somewhere about 250 billion years ago. Well, I think that was yesterday. Now it's 255 billion years ago. You know, they keep pushing the date back. Well, the Bible says in the beginning. I believe that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and the seventh day he rested. Now, that's the beginning of time as we understand it. Our minds cannot think about eternity. What is eternity? Explain eternity to me. I cannot explain it to you. All I can tell you is that time is something that is in the center of eternity. Eternity past and eternity future. Now, there are some things that God did in eternity past. God existed in eternity past, and he's worthy of all honor and all glory because of who he is. The angels worship God in eternity past. In Philippians, or Psalms chapter 90 and verse 2, it says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." Oh, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The world and many people think that Jesus Christ began his existence with his birth. No, God Almighty sent forth his Son, Jesus Christ, and by the marvelous means of the incarnation, Jesus Christ assumed a human body that he might be the Redeemer for his people. But in that process, not one thing changed about Jesus Christ. He is still the eternal Son of God. He is as much God today as he was in eternity past. He's not changed one bit. He is the everlasting Son of God. And in those offices which he was appointed to, he holds those offices, never changing one bit. The first office that comes to my mind is that he was to be the prophet. He is the voice. He is the demonstrator. He is the revealer of God's will and God's mind to us. Now, some people don't think about God having a mind and God having a will. And most certainly he does have. The Bible talks about it. John chapter 1, I believe it's verse 14, we read that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father. That is the deity of Jesus Christ, and he came to earth to manifest himself for the very express purpose of revealing the mind of God. The 18th verse says, no man have seen God at any time, but the only begotten, that's Christ Jesus, he hath revealed him. You want to know the mind of God? Well, it's been given to us by the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus Christ gave us, he is the final revelation of the mind of God. That's what Hebrews chapter 1 talks about. God, who in sundry times spoke to us in divers manners, hath now in these last days, now the last days begin with the birth of Jesus Christ, and in these last days hath revealed them unto us, given his word by Jesus Christ. He is the great prophet. You want to know, as I said, the mind of God. Read what we have in the word of God. The apostles went forth writing and telling and declaring what Christ gave unto them. They were his messengers to the world, and blessed you and I have this book written to us in the language that we can read, and we learn about the way of God, the will of God, the way of salvation, and how we as God's people are to live, and we understand and are told this is the will of God by the Holy Spirit of God. Not only is he the prophet, but he is also our great high priest. Oh, how wonderful it is to think that we have a great high priest. Now, the book of Hebrews, Paul will tell you that there is a change in the priesthood. No longer is the Mosaic priesthood, but it is the priesthood of the order of Melchizedek, of whom Christ was made to be after that order, which is an everlasting, unchangeable priesthood. Jesus Christ became flesh for the very express purpose that he might identify with us as human beings, and that he might become the Lamb of God for our sins. And with his own blood, Paul will tell you, he entered into the Holy of Holies, having obtained eternal salvation for us as our great high priest. No priest ever did that before. All those Old Testament sacrifices, Paul will tell you, that is not by the blood of bulls and goats, but only by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He is the high priest that is the ever-living high priest. Seeing that he ever lived, he's able to save unto the uttermost them that come unto God by him. Why? Because he ever lived. This priesthood will never change, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today forevermore. No matter how long time goes on, you can rest your head on this. You have Jesus Christ as your Lord and the Savior. You have him also as your great high priest, who maketh intercession for us as God's people, and he's able to save unto the uttermost. He has the title also of King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, this old world thinks it can control. No, it's not. The world moves in existence by the will of God. Romans the 13th chapter, Paul says, that let us be subject to the powers of be, for the powers of be are what? Ordained by God. It's regardless of what person is in position, he is there by the expressed will of God, either for a blessing or for a curse. I'm fearful we might be living in days of judgment. We deserve it if it is. But you'll read in the Old Testament that there were times when God gave Israel good kings, David, Solomon, and others. But then you'll find that God gave them bad kings. Manasseh was one of them. Others. They led Israel astray. And they did that because God brought those men into existence for the very express purpose to judge his people. I believe that's what's going on today in America. But Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is referred to several times by that title. Paul, while writing in the book of 2 Timothy, in it's 1 Timothy, chapter 6. He says that the world might come. But thou keep the commandments. I'm reading verse 14, without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show. Now note that. I'm reading 1 Timothy 6 and verse 15, which in his times, now you and I have been given by the Holy Spirit the Word of God, and we've been given faith to believe, and we've been brought by the Holy Spirit of God into submission to Jesus Christ. We've been born into his kingdom, and so we, by faith, believe that he is King of kings and Lord of lords. He's our king. He is our Lord of our lives. But the world doesn't believe that. Paul, writing in Philippians, the second chapter, said that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name. Hallelujah. That the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess to the glory of God the Father. The world will be in mourning. God's people will be in praising. Because that means the world, Bible deniers, those who don't believe, have never been brought to the faith in Jesus Christ, the non-elect, they'll be on their way to hell. God's people will be on their way to heaven. And his time, he will show who is the blessed and only, the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And you're reading the book of Revelation, the last chapter, or 19th chapter of Revelation. This is supposed to be, you know, somewhat the cult bringing of everything together in time. And it says to you, John said, I saw one coming and riding upon a white horse, and his name was King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the King, he is the Lord that God purposed for him to be before the foundation of the world, and throughout all eternity, his people will be worshiping him as King of kings and Lord of lords. He changes not in his person nor his offices. Quickly, let me out more point out to you, he doesn't change in his power. In Matthew, the 28th chapter, the Lord said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. He is the power by which this world has been brought into existence. His creative power. In John, the first chapter, again, John says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. In the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the word there for God is plural, Elohim. That's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so Paul says, without him is not anything made that was made. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul writes, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That word consist simply means hold held together. Don't worry about climate change. It's God's program whereby that he brings about summer, fall, winter. You know what I read the other day? The Antarctic. Now we're in the midst of climate change. The Antarctic had the record coldest season it's ever had. Now, I'm glad I wasn't down there. But that's where they said that it was the coldest it had ever been. This world is not going to come apart because of what man does. Now, I do believe there's going to be a purging and fire, and this everything in the works in this world, everything's going to melt down, and it will be all purged by the power of God Almighty, but it be at God's time and not man's time. By him all things consist. Now that power is the same power that God brings about in giving us a new life in Christ Jesus. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become. I'll tell you, the power of God Almighty, whereby he can change the heart and life of an individual. Saul on the road to Damascus was a persecutor of the saints of God. But somewhere on that road, he met Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, made him to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. And Paul, the persecutor, or Saul, the persecutor, became Paul, the preacher about Jesus Christ. Lord, what would you have me to do? I have seen and I have experienced the regenerating work of the power of God Almighty, whereby that wicked men have come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and been converted, and they become new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. If you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's what we've experienced. It was all by the power of God Almighty. The same power, Paul will write in Ephesians chapter 1, the same power whereby the God wrought the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is dynamic power whereby that God made you to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'll tell you what, it was a hard job, so to speak, from the human aspect of it, but it was an instantaneous miracle on the part of God. Like he spoke the world into existence, so the Holy Spirit of God spoke to your heart, and God made you to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. The same power whereby he said Lazarus came forth, and Lazarus was given life and came out of the grave. That's the same power that God worked in your heart and life when he made you to be. He resurrected you from dead in trespasses and sins and gave you eternal life. He's not changed in his power at all. Just as the God who could stand in the boat and tell the wind to stop blowing and the waves to be still, that's the same power that we have today, my friends, in Jesus Christ. The power by which the men could walk through the fiery furnace and not be burned. That's the same Jesus that I'm talking to you about today. The same Jesus Christ, the same power that brought out Peter from the prison. That's the Jesus Christ that we're talking about. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. His power has not diminished one bit. You say, well, we don't see very many miracles going on. Well, you don't need to. He gives you his word. And the miracle simply confirmed that he is who he is. And once it's been confirmed, by faith we believe it and accept it. You say, well, I've got to see a miracle. Well, I'll tell you about some miracles. I can tell you about people who were dead in trespasses and sins and came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. That's a change. That's a miracle, my friends. May I quickly move on to talk about Christ does not change in his promises. I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. That's a precious promise. We just read earlier a while ago in the 13th chapter of Hebrews. He says, the Lord is my helper. You can say, the Lord is my helper. And he says in verse 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We sing those words in that song, How Firm a Foundation. It is the very promise that God gave to his people. I will never leave thee. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I like Psalms 139, which says, though I make my bed in hell, thou art there, and thy right hand shall uphold me. You cannot go anywhere where God is not. You cannot go anywhere where Jesus Christ will leave you. Whatever it is that God calls upon you to go through, I'll tell you, God Almighty will give you the power and the strength to sustain you. God told Israel, as your days shall be, so shall your strength be. That's his promise to you. There's some promises that I just want to mention. And that is his love. God's love. God told Israel, yea, I've loved you with an everlasting love. There with cords of kindness have I drawn you. You cannot go back. I mentioned eternity. You cannot go back far enough in eternity to come to the end and find the beginning of God's love. It's eternal. As much as God is, so is his love. God is love. That's what the Word of God says. That's his very nature. And because he wanted a people that would manifest his love and devotion to his Son, Jesus Christ, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, in love he predestinated us. God moved by his eternal love to have a people and to redeem them from their sins, and God's love that sent forth his Son, that same love is his love today. If necessary, God would send his Son to die for us. Not necessary. That's what Paul says in Romans the 8th chapter. He says that God has sent forth his Son. Let me read to us in the 8th chapter of Romans. Shall he not by him also freely give us all things? I need to get the verse exactly right. 8th chapter, he says, I'm reading. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who is he that condemneth? It is God that justifieth. Hallelujah. That's the promise of God to his people. No matter what the world does to you, it can throw you in the den of lions. God will be there. He is our helper. He is our promise. The promises of the Lord are always sure and certain. They never change. He swore to Abraham by his immutable counsel. And he never will fail to do what he promised to do. He never becomes bankrupt. He never exhausts his mercy nor his grace. David, praying in Psalms 51, said, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Oh, there's been some wicked people that's come to know salvation in Christ Jesus, but they never exhausted the mercies of God. You cannot exhaust them because they are immutable. Now, that's not free license to live how you want to, but that's rather should be a motivation to love him more. I will never stop loving you, he says. And as many as he loves, I chasten. So, you know, like my daddy used to tell me, you're always going to be my son. And that's what God says to us. I'll love you forever and ever and ever. Therefore, I will chasten you because I want you to be conformed to the image of my Son. Not only is his love, but all of his promises. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, all the promises of God in him are yea and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. All the promises of God are yea. Now, in the previous verse before that, Paul talks about man's commitment being yea and nay. You know, well, maybe, yeah, no. Whatever God has said, that you will never change. It remains the same. I like this verse. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. I'll never forget as I was brought to know and understand the truth of those words like that. That before the world ever began, God promised eternal life unto some elect people. They were people that the Father gave to the Son in the eternal covenant. John the 17th chapter, the Lord talks about that again. God, thine they were. These are those they were yours, and thou hast given them unto me in the eternal covenant. God chose a people in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, and God purposed to give unto them eternal life. And the Son agreed that he would come and die for the sins of his elect people. And the Holy Spirit of God said, I will regenerate them. I will bring them to the knowledge of Christ as Savior. And he does. Normally he uses human instrumentality, but I'll tell you, God's not confined to human instrumentality. Somebody says, if we don't do our job, people are going to die and go to hell. God will never fail in his promises. Now, I believe that every one of God's elect are going to be brought to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I believe that. God preached the gospel unto Abraham. And he can preach the gospel to a mute person. He can preach the gospel to a deaf person. He can preach the gospel to a person whose IQ is subnormal. They don't have to be able to read. They don't have to be able to hear. They don't even have to have an IQ. God says, my sheep. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, and my sheep will follow my voice. I'm reading John chapter 10 and verse 28. Let me start quoting it right. My sheep, I know my sheep, and my sheep will hear my voice, and they will follow me. Blessed is the privilege we have as being a witnesses to people. There have been times that I think that God has used me to bring about the conversion of people. But I'll tell you one thing, it was God that did it. Paul says, one man planteth, another man watereth. But who gives the increase? You ever plant your corn and plant your beans and nothing come up? I've done a lot of planting and nothing come up. Just because we talk to somebody and maybe get somebody to say, yes, I do, does not mean that God has done anything about it. But I'll tell you, when God does it, it's permanent and it's sure. God the Father gave a people to the Son, and the Son promised to die for them, redeem them from all their sins. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, a verse that most people know. His name should be called, it starts off saying, she shall bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's a promise. God made a promise unto Joseph. She shall bear a son. She bore a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. His name was Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. We are hard shell because we believe that every time God says shall, it will happen exactly as God said it will happen. He did save his people from their sins. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Precious promise. In whom we have redemption. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious blood. How precious is that blood that washes us from all of our sins because he loved us from before the foundations of the world. God the Father made promise to the Son that all that Christ would die for, they would be brought to know him. John the 6th chapter, verse 37, all that the Father giveth me, note that please, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will not cast out. You can rest your head on the promises of God. I need to quickly move on, that God has promised that he'll work everything for our good. He has promised to work everything for our good. Romans the 8th chapter and verse 28 says, we know that all things are working for good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. All things. Whether you understand it, whether you agree with it or not, God's always in control to working all things for your good. Now, I heard a preacher this past week preaching from this text, and oh, he distorted and perverted this text so much. And he said this does not mean that everything that happens in your life, that God has anything to do with it. He says to say that even when bad things happen, he means that would be saying that God and the devil are partners together. Well, my friends, I'll tell you one thing. Peter, preaching in Acts, the 2nd chapter, speaking about the death of Jesus Christ, he said, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God. Now that's God working to bring about the death of Christ. Him being delivered, ye have taken and with wicked hands have crucified the Lord of glory. God allowed, suffered wicked men to accomplish what was his predetermined plan. But God was always in control. They never broke a bone of his body. Why? God wanted you and I to know that even in the midst of terrible things, I'm always in control. The devil and God don't work together, but I'll tell you one thing. The devil is a tool that God uses. He's a tool. Look at Job. Job, the devil accused Job of being a false hypocrite. God says, I'll just let you touch him. I can't. Why? Because there's a hedge about him. Child of God, God hadn't changed one bit. There's a hedge all about every child of God. And whatever happens in your life comes to you by the will of God for the express purpose of helping us and directing us and causing us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. You say, well, I just got myself into a heap of trouble. Well, I've been there too. And every time I get myself into a heap of trouble, I can tell you one thing. It was because God allowed it to happen. If it had not been the will of God, it would not have happened. And that heap of trouble that I got myself into was for my spiritual edification and to help me to become more Christ-like. God taught me some things. You know, when he takes you around behind the bushes and takes a stick to you, you know it's your Heavenly Father that's correcting you. And he's doing it to teach us some things. But all things are working for the good of them that love the Lord according to his purpose. Ephesians chapter 1, you'll read in verse 7. It says that he worketh all, verse 11, in whom rather we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh. Yeah. Just not some things. No, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. What is that will? It is our eternal salvation. It is for our glorification. It is for our conforming to the image of his son. Him, reading Romans chapter 8, he has predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his son. And that's his will. And that's the reason why he's working all things in our lives to accomplish his will. Even the bad things. God doesn't make man to sin, but God allows sin that we might see how terrible sin is. And I'll give you the last one. He's promised his people with goodness. Psalms 107, verse 9. He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Oh, isn't it sweet to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? David says in Psalms 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our Lord, speaking in Matthew chapter 5, says, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. What's the rest of it say? They shall be filled. They shall be filled. That's another one of those hard shells. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful to know that Christ loved you before the foundation of the world and came to earth to die for you, that you might have eternal life, and that eternal life will indeed result in your being glorified with Jesus Christ forever and forever. I like the verse Brother David quoted earlier. We know, behold, what now are we the sons of God? And it doth not yet appear what we shall be like, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Job said, I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. Yes, sir. What a great God. What a great Savior we have. Our Father, we come to you here this morning. We thank you that we have a Savior who does not change. He doesn't change in his person, in his power, nor in his promises to us. Therefore, we can rest our head on his faithfulness. Bless us, the word of God, as it goes forth today. According to your will, we ask in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. I know whom I have believed. I believe that's 334. Am I right or wrong? Tell me. Let's stand as we sing it, if you would, please.